Well, this is my story. This is a series that we are doing, and I was given the title of depression, and I thought, oh my goodness, I really don't want to be a friend of depression. And I don't really want depression in my life, but I can say I have been through very dark times, and I have been through deep, deep depression. And I don't want to bore any of you, but with my brother's suicide, that raised many, many issues in my life. You know, it raised our childhood, because I asked my mother why, and she said because he couldn't cope with his childhood. And I'm like, well, hello. You know, there go I, but for the grace of God. And then my nephew and my sister and, you know, just, I think sometimes depression does follow in families. I really do. But, you know, when you recognize it, when you see it, and yes, I was probably diagnosed with depression, but I thank God for deliverance. I didn't rely on medical doctors, although I don't put doctors down. They are wonderful. I can't say enough for them. But I trust in the Lord. He's my strength. And I have a couple of things up here I want you to see. Isn't that a beautiful sunset? It's amazing, isn't it? But, and the next one. You know, what is it that makes the sunsets look beautiful? It's the clouds. It's the dark clouds. And the darker the clouds, the more beautiful the sunset. And I was just in Malaysia just recently, and the sunsets there are just gorgeous. That's just like that. So beautiful. But it's the dark clouds that make the sunset beautiful. Because when the sun went down with no clouds in the sky, it was just the sun going down. But you know what? I think about the dark clouds, and then I think about our lives. It's the things that we go through, the dark times that make our lives beautiful. That's where we know our strength. Sister, if you had not had that car accident, you might not be sitting here tonight, because you don't know if you ever would have reached out to God to touch you. Same with you, Morty. We don't know, but it's the dark times that draw us and make us beautiful. So like I say, I'm no stranger to depression. But I want to say tonight, I believe the power of God, and I also believe it was some of the strong Christian disciplines that I have, or habits if you want, in my life. I am a regular walker. I am a regular reader of the Word of God. I'm in the house of God every time the doors are open. I am a regular person in prayer. And I believe it is those habits that I had in place in my life helped me when I went through the dark, dark time. And it probably lasted maybe 6 months. Did I feel like doing life? No. Did I feel like getting up and walking the block at 6 o'clock in the freezing cold? No. But I knew that it was good for me. And I knew that when I was in my right frame of mind and I did it, I knew how I felt. So I knew it was good for me to do. Not that I really wanted to do those things, but because I'm a determined, stubborn, if you like, whatever, that's all right, I don't mind. But some of those things help us when we go through dark times. Having habits, not all habits are bad. So I'm not an expert. I know some of the kind of depressions that people go through, and I'm not playing down any of them. I wrote down some: major depression, persistent depressive disorder, bipolar, seasonal, you know, comes every season. I understand these things: psychotic depression, postnatal depression, major and manic depression. There's lots of depressions. But you know where they all come from? The pit of hell. And I know that, you know, some things are medically, I know all that. You've got doctors here. They could get up here and give you all of that. But I'm not here to do that tonight. I want to say to everything there is a season. To every person there is a season. If you read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it tells you there are seasons for everything. A time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to build, a time to pull down, a time for this, a time for that. So everything has a season. And Canberra has the most beautiful seasons. I walked through the garden this afternoon and I was able to take some pictures of some things that had gone through a very dark, cold winter, and there they are popping their heads up. And I was delighted to see them all just struggling to get through. So there are different seasons. And you know what? I really enjoy, I got to thinking about it. Winter comes and spring follows, and that's a given. And then we go into summer, then we go into autumn, and then we go into winter. But you know what? I think with God, there are five seasons. And this is not something, I heard this recently. I got to thinking about it. Yes, there's summer, there's autumn, there's winter, there's spring. And I believe with God, there is the dew season. You shall reap if you faint not. Let us, in Galatians chapter 6, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap, we shall glean if we faint not. Reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up, if you read the New Living Translation. Blessings if we don't lose heart. You know what? There are only blessings when you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. If we don't grow weary and don't give up, guess what? There will be blessings for us. There are seasons of, just in our life, we go from being a child to being teenagers, and then we start work, we become adults, we get married, we have children, then we have toddlers, then we have teenagers, then we find life's partners. Some go through divorce, some through death of a spouse, sickness or sickness of a spouse, financial stress or selling a house or moving a house. My goodness, all of these different seasons, and they all bring certain amount of anxiety or stress with them. Does anybody agree with me? So David said to himself, and he was no stranger to depression, but he went through such times and down times, and in Psalm 42 he says to his soul, which is his mind, his will and his emotions, he said, oh soul, why are you cast down within me? Why are you disquieted within me? What does he say then? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he is the help of my countenance. If you read mostly through the Psalms, I believe they're like mainly about lament. And I had to look up that word to get it correct for you tonight. It's a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. The Psalms mostly are complaint against God, complaint against enemies, complaint against circumstances of our life. Real life, written by a man to God, and now is God's word, and God's word to comfort us. If in my Bible, at Psalm 143, it says, a prayer of a soul in distress. Would I be correct saying that sometimes it's distress rather than depression that we are feeling? Sometimes I think it's too easy to make that word depression. And I know that there's a, you know, not always accepted about mental health issues, and that's all doctors' responsibility. I know all that. But brothers and sisters, we have a God who is able. We've heard it tonight that our God is more than able to deliver us and to set us free. And I believe that when we came to him in repentance, old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. It doesn't mean that our depressions or times of struggles won't come, but we have a God to help us through those dark times. And we heard that tonight. I'd like to talk about Psalm 143. My sister agreed with me tonight. Psalm 143, and we're going to put it up on the screen, are we? Yep. Okay, could we not find the New English translation? Okay. My soul, starting at verse 1, and there's only 12 verses there. O Lord, hear my prayer. Pay attention to my plea for help. Because of your faithfulness and justice, answer me. And it's written by a man or a soul in distress. Do not sit in judgment of your servant, for no one alive is innocent before you. Verse 3, certainly my enemies chase me. They smash me to the ground. They force me to live in dark regions like those who have been dead for ages. My strength leaves me. I am absolutely shocked. I recall the old days. I meditate on all you have done. I reflect on your accomplishments. I spread my hands out to you in prayer. My soul thirsts for you in a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My strength is fading. And the New Living Translation says, my depression is deepening. Do not reject me, or I will be like those descending to the grave. May I hear about your loyal love in the morning, for I trust in you. Show me the way I should go, because I long for you, Lord. Rescue me from mine enemies, O Lord. I run to you for protection. Teach me what to do, what pleases you, for you are my God. May your kind presence lead me into a level land, O Lord, for the sake of your reputation, revive me. Because of your justice, rescue me from trouble. As a demonstration of your loyal love, destroy my enemies. Annihilate all who threaten my life, for I am your servant. And if we say that, I believe we can pray that prayer of David's. We ask God to help us if we are his loyal servant. So I'm saying tonight, please don't waste your valley seasons. Don't waste your valley experiences. Valleys are usually cold and damp, and not many people like to live in those sort of areas. But one day, let me just take a drink here. Excuse my squeaky voice. One day, there was a preacher who had just lost his family in a tragic fire, and I believe this to be a true story, and he had fallen into the depths of deep depression and was walking down the city street. There he came upon a construction crew that was erecting a new church. He stopped and to watch them as they worked, and as he watched, he observed a worker who was busy carving a triangle out of stone with a chisel and a hammer. Stepping closer, he asked the stonecutter what he was carving, and the worker pointed to the steeple of the church, and he said, "You see that small opening up there? I am carving this stone down here so that it fits in up there." The preacher was immediately stirred in his heart. He realized anew the faithfulness of God and came to understand that the valley he was in at that moment was God's way of carving him down here so he would fit in up there. We live in a world that is filled with people just like that preacher. And some of you may be sitting here tonight, maybe not lost your family, I understand that, but you are living in a dark, dark world. And maybe you are being with a hammer and the chisel so that you will fit in up there. But that's a valley and a season that we will go through. Through the ages, many famous people have been plagued with difficulties of this sort. And if you've ever had depression and you know what depression is, you can link yourself with George Washington, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, John Adams, Winston Churchill, and many, many of the great hymn writers all suffered with depression. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us for having depression. And I think most of you would know that I think it was Winston Churchill who said he was plagued with that black dog. So, but David, the psalmist, who is called a man after God's own, suffered depression and defeat. He was born out of a time of a valley season. Or Psalm 143 was born out of a valley season of depression, discouragement, and defeat. Perhaps today, if we look at Psalm 143, we can help, we can find help for ourselves through those valleys that we will go through. So let's look at verse 1. If I can find it. Can I say that just as surely as God controls the direction of our life, he controls the disruptions of our life. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called. So we know that God controls the disruptions. We have to agree that God controls the disruptions as well as the direction of our life. He also controls the valleys that we would go through. He determines the depth of our valley. He determines the length of our valley. And he determines the duration of the valley. He sends the valley seasons into our life to develop us and to make us more like him. So if God loves us, and he does, if he sends the valley our way, and he does, we would be foolish to waste what we would learn in those valley experiences. Agree? As we consider the divisions of this psalm, let's take time to reflect on what God is doing in us. What is God doing in you in this season? Verse 1 or verse 3 there, it says, there's pain in the valley. And we all know that. If you have gone through depression, there is pain in depression. There is pain in that season of darkness and in that valley. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath made smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Such pain. He is no help. He feels like he's abandoned. And if you look at the context of this, when David is writing that, there was anarchy in his household. Absalom had risen up and David's son was in revolt and his right-hand man, and I can't say his name, Ahithophel, whatever it is. It sounds like profiterole, but it's not. I don't know how to say it. Sister Kim, you'll have to help us. But, you know, they were all over the place. They were doing the wrong things. And there seemed to be no end of the pain and no light at the end of his tunnel. Family troubles, been there. Friends troubles, been there. Many, many are in that valley every day of your life. You go through these different things. Family breakdowns, very commonplace. They're enough to send you into a valley. I understand that. Verse 4, David says, my strength leaves me. I'm absolutely shocked, he says. My heart within me is desolate, dry. He is feeling overwhelmed. And that's a sign of depression when you're feeling overwhelmed. And if you look at the word, it says, shrouded carries the idea of being encased in darkness. And we've heard that tonight. Desolate. It's as if David cannot believe what has happened to him. It's as if he has no strength or heart to go on. Many walk in that valley today. Verse 7, it talks about the pain of despair. My strength is fading. Don't reject me or I will die. No hope to be at that end. David feels that he has reached the end of his rope and that if God doesn't lift the veil of his darkness, then he is no better off than those that go down to the depths or go down to death or the depths of despair. The valleys of life are a shared experience. Obviously, there are many types of valleys and we don't all pass through the same valley. And we don't all pass through the same place. There are valleys of sickness, death, financial turmoil, emotional distress, spiritual upheaval, marital discord, There are valleys that touch the body. There are valleys that touch the soul, the mind, and the family. And there are valleys of every description. And the one thing we all have in common is that one day we will all pass through the valleys. But what are we going to do when we pass through the valley? Who are we going to look to when we pass through the valley? The valleys and the seasons of life are going to come our way. That is a given. No one's going to escape it. We all are going to go through some sort of valley or season of life. When they come, we must remember that they come to us from the hand of a loving God. Job 2. Job was going through a valley, and you all know the story of Job, all the things that had happened to him. But he said, Lord, when you've tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. But he was going through a dark time. It's easy for us because we know the end of the story, but going through, losing all your family, losing everything you have, your family, your wife turned against you, everything. He said, but Lord, I know when I'm through this valley, I shall come forth as gold. We must remember that our valleys come because he is in the business of perfecting us. Therefore, we must be careful not to waste the experiences. If you are one of the many walking through a valley, there is hope for you today. You may feel like life is unbearable. Let me encourage you, with all the despair that marks Psalm 143, there is also much reason to rejoice. We've talked about the pain in the valley. And those of you who have suffered depression, you would agree. You know the pain of depression and being in that dark place. But you know what? There are rewards in the valley as well. There's a prize for going through the valley, or in the valley you'll find your prize. The valley has a way of bringing us to our knees. The valleys have a way of causing us to reflect upon our relationship with God. Anything that brings us closer to the Lord is okay with me. It's a prize. Paul prayed many times that that thorn in his flesh would be taken from him, but the Lord never took it away, but it made him always rely upon his God. So if you're struggling, whatever area you're struggling in, if it means you have to continually rely on God for strength, it's okay, because you're looking to God, not to man. His grace was sufficient for Paul, it's sufficient for us. And then verse 5, the prize of remembrance. David had much to remember. I remember the days of old, David said. I ponder all your great works and I think about what you've done. The stories of how God delivered Israel, and a little bit closer to home for David were the things that God had done for him in his life. Killing the bear, the lion, and the giant. And Saul, all those troubles there. Those were things that David could refer back to. And when we go through our valleys, it will do us good to refer back to the things that we know that God has done for us. When there was an operation once in the UPC that they called stakers, and they used to put a stake in. I have traveled this far and I'm going to stake it here. That's what the mountain climbers do. They put their stakes in and they climb up, because if they fall back, they only fall back to that point. But it will do us good to remember what God has done for us. When we are in the valley, we need a fresh encounter with the Lord. We need to be, and I don't have a valley in my backyard, but I know what grows in the valley, the lily of the valley, not seen by those up on the mountaintops all the time. So I would say, as you go through that valley, you're going to see the prize of the lily of the valley. And the lily of the valley is our God. And when you are down, there is no other place to go but to look up and see the lily of the valley. We don't only need to see him, We need to know him. David says, my soul, O Lord, it thirsts for you. I feel like I'm in a dry, parched, cracked ground that just longs for the refreshing of your spirit again. David knew he could not produce what he needed. Therefore, he looked to God. And I know the darkness that I went through after my brother's death and all the rest of it. It was dark. It was dry. Did I feel the presence of God when I would pray? No, I didn't. Did I feel like worshiping when I came to church? No, I didn't. Did I feel like even doing anything? No. But out of just rote or out of habit, I just did those things. And then one day, when the word of the Lord came to me, as I walked down our very steep, steep drive, arise, for thy presence of the Lord is, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I knew then I had met the lily of the valley. And I was delivered. I thank God for that. Your valley has been designed especially to cause you to come to the end of yourself, to a place with utter dependence upon God. And that's not a bad place. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you the path to take. That is great news. Trust in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, therefore, our present troubles, our present valleys, our present season are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them that will last forever. Because I know when God has done something, that is settled. It can't be reversed. As terrible as the valleys, the winter seasons of life can be, they're also extremely valuable. If you don't plant your bulbs in the winter season, guess what? You won't get spring flowers. So you've got to get your hands into that dirt in the cold if you want flowers in the springtime. It's in the valley we learn the eternal truths of God's word that energize us and strengthen our faith, because it's in those dark times when we read the scripture that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will go before you. I will be with you. When you read that and you know that you're going through that dark time, that is a stake. That is something you can put your life upon. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So there is a path out of the valley, and the path is the way of prayer. Several times a day, David said, I will pray. His habit was prayer, and our habit should be prayer. Prayer. We are commanded to pray. How? Without ceasing. We need to live that prayer life in communion with God. We are told to rejoice and be confident, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Romans 12:12. God has promised to hear our prayers and to answer us when we pray. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call upon me and I will answer thee and I will show you great and mighty things. So the way or the path out of your valley is the path of prayer. Our duty is to pray and to praise. Pray when God says yes. Pray when God says no, I have a better way. And pray when God says wait. Prayer and praise, the twins of heaven, is more than a religious activity. It is the pathway out of your valley. With Jehoshaphat, you know the battle that was going to rage. They knew their enemy was coming. When they began to sing praises, the Lord set the ambushments. And I believe in our life today, if we will begin to pray and have praise in our lips, our ambushments will be set. And we will come out of our valleys and we will win the battle. The other path is worshiping. Praise and worship, you know, everybody says they're not the same, but I just think if you can just give God all, that's worship unto him. David sends up a word of praise. He reminds us that God is good. Each of us, as we walk through our valley, would do well to adopt the attitude of praise. He worshipped. Job worshipped God. He didn't accuse God. He worshipped God. Psalm 23, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I know you're with me. Why should we praise him? Because he is worthy. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. Nehemiah 8, he said, don't be sad and dejected, for the Lord is your strength. And a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. So I'm closing tonight, but there is help, there is hope in our valley seasons and in our dark times. There is hope for each one of us tonight. And you know what? The best thing? This season will pass. You will not always stay there, and you will not die. Amen.